We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number 1.
Adam Spillane and Cecil Shorts in for Clint and the show. Number 1, and we've got a little bit of breaking news here. First, the Detroit Lions have ruled out Kenny Golladay and Danny Amendola for tomorrow's game against the Texans. Jeff Okuda has been ruled out as well. DeAndre Swift is questionable. The Lions, who were shut out last week in Carolina, they will be shorthanded offensively against the Texans tomorrow.
Sheesh, that's your number one receiver, your number two receiver. Yeah, I mean, that's tough. Your number one draft pick last year in Jeff Okuda. So definitely favorable for the Deshaun Watson and the Texans. So I expect a lot of points. I expect them to come out and be ready to go. This would be a good it'll be a lot of fun, man. Playing on Thanksgiving has to be a good time.
Here's my real number one. The Texans place Randall Cobb on IR today. He may be able to return. He's got to miss at least 3 weeks. Is this Kiki QT's chance to solidify his spot on the Texans roster?
This is his opportunity to prove to the Texans fans, to the media, to the organization, to whoever the new head coach is going to be, because this is an opportunity for him to get some film. That, hey, I'm supposed to be your slot guy. Let me be on the field. Let me figure out ways to put me on the field and get some playing time. So this is an opportunity for him. He cannot miss. I think I'm looking at the stats now. 4 catches all year for 21 yards and a touchdown. So this is an opportunity for him to really build on what we thought he would be from his rookie year. And then really get out the – there is no doghouse really no more because Bill O'Brien's gone, but really get back on the field and playing some good ball. So we'll see if Deshaun trusts him. We'll see how many targets and how many chances he'll get the ball this week.
Sunday was just the second time all season that he's been active. What I found interesting, he was on the field a lot. And I don't know, how many catches did he wind up with? And I'm just curious, he had the 2 catches. One was for a touchdown.
Yeah.
But he was on the field a lot, which surprised me. So when you looked at him, did you feel like he played really well to be able to deserve being on the field as much as he was?
Well, I think Tim Kelly's kind of get creative with him, right? I mean, you just showed me a picture of him lined up in the backfield at tailback. The more ways, he's a quick guy. I don't think real speedy, but he's a quick guy. He's very very nimble, can make guys miss. So the more ways you can figure out how to use him, the better it is for him, right? If you can make plays out the backfield. See, and that's the thing. When you put him in the backfield, now you have your receiver on a linebacker. Now you have your receiver on a possible safety when we like that matchup, right? So that's the reason why you want to move him around. So if he can make plays in different spots, and you can find you may be able to find you. Hey, if Kiki can figure out how to make plays, hey, maybe find himself on the roster next year.
We're going to get into some more formation stuff with what the Texans did against the Patriots, because I thought Tim Kelly did some really interesting things and a little more creative than I think that people give him credit for.
Big 3-3, number 2.
Last night, the first college football playoff rankings were revealed. It's hard to believe. Normally, you get to Thanksgiving and this is like the last of the college football rankings. This was the first. Alabama, number 1. Notre Dame, number 2. Ohio State, number 3. Clemson, number 4. Texas A&M, number 5. The Fighting Texas Aggies are actually relevant for the first time in 20 years, give or take.
There you go, Ty. When was,
I would say more like 50 or 60. You were being nice.
When was RC there?
Ty is so... So that was the first thing we talked about when was Ty. One of the first things we talked about pre-show was The Aggies are number 5, and they have an outside chance of getting in because Alabama will play. No, what did we say?
There's just so many things that have to go right.
Clemson could lose again.
Clemson will play Notre Dame
in
the ACC championship, and then Notre Dame could possibly because if Notre Dame loses, that still be one loss. So Clemson would have to lose twice, and that way you'll move up.
And I don't think I don't think Lawrence is going to be missing that time.
In all honesty, though, Ohio State is going to have trouble staying up because they're going to wind up playing Northwestern in the Big Ten title game. And Northwestern is fine, but Northwestern is not that good. And Ohio State really has no one else left on the schedule. Indiana's good, but Ohio State has Michigan left. Michigan's not good.
Terrible.
They already played Penn State. They already played Indiana. There's really nobody left on that schedule. And the fact that Wisconsin is not going to be able to play in enough games to qualify for the Big Ten title game, that's going to hurt Ohio State in the end.
There's no way. Now, Northwestern's number 10 right now, right?
Is anybody buying Northwestern?
I get it. Nah, I get it. But I think it's going to be hard based off Ohio State's recent history and having Justin Fields not in the college football playoffs. Because that's going to be hard to keep them out of if they don't lose a game.
It's pretty funny. You look at these standings and you have Notre Dame has played 8 games at number 2. Ohio State has played 4 games at number 3. Obviously, it's a bizarre year for a lot of different reasons. There could be a lot of movement with the Pac-12 teams. BYU is undefeated at 9-0, and I think most people would say that BYU is good, and they have a quarterback in Zach Wilson who could wind up being a first-round pick. So that's a team that I think a lot of people would like to see up there, but they're just not going to be able to.
They haven't played nobody, right? Since the schedule's not good.
And they've had games canceled, and Cincinnati's had games canceled, and everyone is saying, well, Cincinnati and BYU should just play, or BYU should go play Washington or play somebody else, and for whatever reason, they just can't get it done.
Do you think they should expand the playoffs for this year? Just 1 year, maybe make it 6 or 8 teams.
Yeah, why not? Why not do it? And make extra money whenever you can. You might as well.
Words to live by right there.
I'm kind of hoping, Indiana has a really good chance to go to the Rose Bowl. I went to Indiana. They haven't been to the Rose Bowl probably in 50 years. I would love it if they let fans go to the Rose Bowl because I would love to be able to go to the Rose Bowl. So
you went to Indiana?
Yep.
Really? You're a Hoosier? Really? Yeah. I didn't know that. Learn something new every day. There I didn't you know go. You were a Hoosier. That's pretty cool.
Best football team you probably ever had. It should and almost beat Ohio State.
Almost.
Lost it in the second quarter.
It was close.
Big 3-3. Number 3.
Some sad news out of, I'm not sure, I guess it was Argentina. Diego Maradona, who is probably one of the best soccer players to ever play, passed away today at the age of 60. Diego Maradona from Argentina won a World Cup with Argentina in 1986 on what was probably an illegal goal where he punched it with his hand against England.
There's no probably. I never heard this guy until you showed me the goal and we watched the pre-show. He punched the ball into the goal. He cheated.
He got away with it.
He cheated.
Did he?
He physically he punched the ball. He used his head right there. The ball is in the air. It's coming towards the goal. And there, him and another guy at the goal. He pushes his head up, but pushes his hand up as well. And the hand punches the ball into the goal.
Did he cheat or did he just get away with it?
Both. he cheated and got away with this. It's ridiculous. May he rest in peace. But it's ridiculous.
He's a cheater. May he rest in peace.
May he rest in peace. May he rest in peace.
HBO did a documentary about him maybe a year or two ago. It was very interesting because, again, I knew very little about Diego Maradona. I knew about some of the trouble that he had in his life, had some issues with drugs. He grew up in poverty in Argentina and turned into basically the best soccer player in the world in the 1980s. So kind of a sad ending to his life. That's just kind of what he dealt with once he grew to fame. And it shows you how difficult it is being famous when you really have had nothing in your life before. So, prayers to his family and prayers to really that entire nation, I'm sure, is grieving right now they have not won the World Cup since. He's a very important figure in Italy, especially in Napoli. That's where he played for Barcelona and had some trouble there and then went to this awful football club in Italy, in Napoli, in kind of the dregs of Italy, and that became a powerhouse in Italian soccer. So a sad story with Diego Maradona passing away today at the age of 60. And I want to throw in a fourth really quick. I don't know if I'm allowed to do that, but I'm going to anyways. Thanksgiving football tomorrow, we do have one game that is being pushed back, the Steelers and the Ravens. It's the first time, seemingly, in at least a month that COVID has forced a game to be pushed back or to force the NFL to have to adjust the schedule.
It's sad because no other good games are going to be on TV. That was the only good game that was going to be on TV or something, like actually meant something, you know what I mean?
Big facts.
I mean, I guess Washington and Dallas, the NFC East is so bad, right? I guess that game matters for the division race.
That being said, listen to the first game on Sports Radio 610.
There you go.
Texans Lions, 11:30, Sports Radio 610. Tune in.
But like, you know, I've never seen a game canceled for on Thanksgiving Day. So that's interesting how it's going to be. I wish they had moved the games back now. Made the 11:30 game wherever the Dallas slot was, and made the Dallas game the primetime game. So, I don't know, man. I'm glad they're still going to be able to play the game. I think it's Sunday afternoon.
Yes.
Got moved to.
At least right now.
For right now.
Everything is contingent on everything at this point. But, yeah, that's the plan right now, is to play it on Sunday. That's great for whoever gets to show. Because that's an NBC game. So, NBC loses that. I don't know if NBC will get to have that game.
Mm.
So it's a big loss for NBC, because like you said, that's a national game.
Mm-hmm.
Would have gotten a huge viewership, and now NBC gets nothing.
You know what you do, though? If you're NBC, play a holiday movie. Go ahead, play Home Alone. Classic. Can't beat it. Home Alone will get more
views. I don't know if they have the rights to Home Alone, though. You got to have the rights.
Maybe It's a Wonderful Life or something. You got to find a classic movie that everybody loves.
Die Hard?
And play it. I guess Die Hard is kind of like
Christmas movie, right?
It's a Christmas movie, kind of, yeah. So you got to find a classic movie and put it in that slot, and it'll be a hit. Boom. NBC, call me, man. Let me work for you, NBC. I got your back.
Network executive, Cecil Shorts. All right, that's the 3 at 3. When we come back, we're going to switch gears a little bit to the Rockets. Christian Wood was supposed to get introduced at 3 o'clock. That's been pushed back. So we will hear from Brandon Scott about the Christian Wood signing coming up in the next hour. But the Rockets will start training camp next week, and they will start training camp with their two best players maybe not wanting to be there. I want to know from Cecil what it's like to have a teammate who doesn't want to be on your team. That's next on Sports Radio 610.
We're bringing it back to H-Town.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Adam Spillane and Cecil Shorts in for Clint and the show. We are here until 6. The Rockets are going to introduce Christian Wood in about 15 minutes. We will hear from Brandon Scott at 4:20 to get his reaction from that press conference. Really an important day for the Rockets. They're going to start training camp next week. And
that's fast.
It is very fast. They will play their first game probably around December 22nd. The NBA hasn't released a schedule just yet, but the league is going to tip off on December 22nd. Have you ever had a teammate who has demanded a trade or asked for a trade or kind of hinted, I don't want to be here?
You know, in Jacksonville, I kind of had a guy. We had a guy named Maurice Jones-Drew, who I'm sure Texans fans know well. He's very good when he was playing before he got injured. But he held out. He led the league in rushing my rookie year, 2011. So 2012, he held out. Like, listen, you got to pay me. I need my bread. I need my money. I just led the league in rushing, and I'm 5 feet even. You know what I mean? Like, I need to get paid. So he missed like 3/4, probably 85% of training camp, and it got to the point where we were thinking, okay, he's probably gonna get traded. Like he wants to get out of here, or he doesn't want to. I wouldn't say he didn't want to be here, because obviously he loves Jacksonville. Still talks about it to this day. Some of the friendships and relationships he's made there, I communicate with him still. But he is a guy that was the closest thing I've seen to a guy like, listen, pretty much asking, like, get me out of here. If you're not going to pay me, get me out of here. Now, he ended up staying another year or two and then up going to Oakland. But, you know, that in his situation, I understood it, because he needed his money. And then running back lifespan is, as we all know, if we could see it firsthand, is short. You know what I mean? Even Christian McCaffrey, I'm glad he got paid when he did, because he's dealing with injuries like heck this year. You know what I mean? And if he would have got his chance to get paid this offseason, I'm not sure he would have got as much money as he did the previous. So that was the closest thing I think I've seen. It's just, as a teammate dealing with it, it's like you want the best for him, but at the same time, like, I'm still on the team, so I want you here with us as well.
So obviously James Harden has made it pretty clear that he does not want to be with the Rockets. Russell Westbrook has as well. The Rockets aren't going to trade Harden, I don't think, under any circumstance, at least not right now.
Mm.
But so you're going to have Harden show up to training camp, and he's already, I think he might be in Houston working out already. Mason Jones, a kid that they signed after the draft, posted a photo with Harden last night. But what is this like now as Harden walks into that locker room with a bunch of guys who he doesn't think are necessarily good enough to win a championship?
It's definitely awkward. You know what I mean? Like when you, whether, because we don't know, I don't think Harden has come out and said anything, but been sources and people.
He can't declare a trade or declare his desire for a trade. You get fined. And the fine is heavy. Like Anthony Davis got fined for publicly saying that he wanted to be traded.
So like it's tough because he's the star of the team. He is the Houston Rockets, right? When you think of the Rockets, you think of James Harden. That's just what it is. So as a teammate, it's like, again, you want the best for your friend, for your guy on the team. But at the same time, it's like, yo, why don't you think I'm good enough? Like, I can play ball. I know I can play ball. If you don't want to be here, you're kind of like, all right, be gone then. Like, you know what I mean? It's almost a slap in the face, per se, if anything is true. Now, what James should do, in my opinion, if this stuff isn't true, if this is whatever, he needs to talk to the guys. Get comfortable with them. Like, hey, man, don't believe that hype. I want to be here. Like, this is where I want to be. I trust y'all. We made it far in the playoffs before. We got a shot here. We bring in Boogie. We're bringing in Wood. Let's go get it. You know what I mean? But as a teammate, it's definitely mixed feelings right now.
Let's assume it's true.
Okay,
and
fair.
I've been around that team a lot over the years. I can tell you it's true. He is not real thrilled about the situation that the Rockets are in right now. So knowing that it is true, how do you take it as a teammate? Does that change? Does it feel any different knowing that it actually did happen?
Knowing it did happen, I put myself in that predicament, right? So if
yeah, let's say you're PJ Tucker,
and PJ Tucker,
you are
perfect.
You're 35 years old. You played in the league a long time. You came to the Rockets and you took a pay cut. You took less money to play for the Rockets. How are you feeling that your teammate, who you've played with for 3 years, you've got a good relationship with, how are you feeling that he wants to be traded and that he's basically willing to leave you behind?
I'm frustrated because I took a pay cut to come here. I understood what was at stake, and it's like, you know, we're doing everything that we can, and this is still not enough. So I'm frustrated from a team standpoint, but I'm also frustrated from a standpoint like, you know, you're the guy that's supposed to get us over the hump. Like, this is your team, so let's figure it out. Let's not give up and go somewhere. But I think PJ's cut from a different cloth. Like, he's not going to hop around on different teams and, hey, come over here and join us, or, hey, come join us. He wants to be a part of an organization that's going to get it out the mud, and I think it would be a slap in the face to him. Like, hey, I came over here, took less money. Like, let's figure it out within house. You know what I mean? Let's not make an announcement and go somewhere else, or you telling sources so sources go out there and say this so I can get traded. Like, no, let's figure it out in house. Let's figure out some moves that we can make and how we can get better our style of play, or whatever the case may be. Silas is going to come in. I'm not sure what style of play he would do. I have to refer to you for that. What style of play that he'll bring to the Rockets, which is actually a really good question, but it would be a slap in the face. I would be somewhat offended, but at the same time, I kind of get it, because if I was in his situation, would I want to be somewhere that I'm not happy? You know what I mean?
Let's say you are Christian Wood or Sterling Brown or one of these new additions to the Rockets.
Yeah.
Are you feeling like, hey, I want to prove to this guy that I am capable of taking him to that next level? I want to prove to him that he should want to stay. Do you take that sort of approach to it if you are someone who has never played with Harden before and you're a member of the Rockets?
If you never played, yeah, you want to prove like, hey, I'm good enough. You should stay here. Like, the mindset going is I'm going to prove that I can play to make you want to stay, right? To make you think, okay, hey, this Sterling Brown kid is pretty good, or hey, this Wood kid, man, he can stretch the floor. He's not going to be bad for us. He can really help us get over the hump, whatever the case may be. But if you're a new guy coming in, it's not too many ties there, right? It's not like a relationship there. So if he does happen to leave, it's like whatever. But you do, one of the reasons you did come here and decide to sign here or come here, whatever, however you came here, was because of James Harden. It was the excitement to play with him and Russell Westbrook. So, yes, that definitely is the mindset, to figure out a way to get him to stay and prove yourself like, hey, you can trust me. You can pass the ball to me. I can score. I can play defense. I can make the right pass. I can do whatever you need me to do. So that definitely is the mindset of a newer player coming in.
All right, now let's take it in the mind of the head coach. And you have Steven Silas, who is a first-year head coach, been in the league a long time, highly respected across the league. But his best player, his star that he inherited, doesn't necessarily want to be on his team. So how much pressure is there on Steven Silas to show James Harden that he is capable of getting him to the next level?
Man, that's tough because you got to coach the guys that are there, right? You got to coach the guys that want to be coached. You got to coach the guys that want to be a part of the Rockets organization. And if he's not there, he's apparently he's going to show up to training camp and stuff, right? Like normal. But if he doesn't want to be there, you're hoping as a coach it doesn't show in his actions, right? Me being a first time, this is the first time being a head coach. And being a newer head coach, Silas has been around the league. His dad, I remember his dad when he coached for the Cleveland Cavaliers. His dad's been around forever. So I think the respect is there, but you still have to earn some respect as a head coach. So for me, as a head coach, it's extremely tough. He's going to have to earn Harden's respect through his play calling, through the schemes, through how he deals with the guys, how he coaches, how he takes care of the guys. So his mind says, I have to get to him some type of way to get him to stay. But at the same time, you got to pour into the other guys, too. You can't just focus on Harden, right? Because if something happens where he can't play, it's 11, 12 of the guys that still have to play. Or if something happens where he's gone, guess what? Now you've put so much energy and time into Harden that you have no relationship with the other guys, and they might not accept the coaching that you give them now. So it's a tricky situation. You got to pour into Harden, but you got to make sure you pour into the other guys as well.
Adam Spillane, Cecil Shorts with you on Sports Radio 610 in for Clint and the show. Is this a situation where you have the two best players have asked for trades?
Mm-hmm.
How quickly could this blow up if it does not go well?
It could go up very quickly. Very quickly. But explaining me doesn't go well, because doesn't go well can mean they start the season off with a losing record. Doesn't go well means they decide to up and trade both of them. What is doesn't go well?
Going well is they just can't get Harden back on the same page with the rest of the organization.
Yeah, it can get real nasty because you go from a contender to probably not making the playoffs with the guys that you have on the roster, or probably an average to below average team. You know what I mean? And the good thing about it, if you do send him off, you can't get him on the same page and you have to trade him, you can get a boatload back, but you'll be starting from the ground up again.
The problem that the Rockets have is that they don't control, they have their first round pick for 2021, but they don't control it. And so it's a pick swap.
Who has the rights?
So this is one of those weird pick swaps where you have it's a pick swap with Oklahoma City, but there's three picks involved. It's the Rockets' pick, it's Oklahoma City's pick, and it's Miami's pick. And Oklahoma City gets the two best. So, so if the Rockets, let's say the Rockets finish with the worst record in the NBA, which won't happen, but let's say it happens, but they wind up with the fifth pick in the draft, they don't keep the pick. Oklahoma City could pick one. The Rockets could pick 5, and Miami could pick 30th. The Rockets would pick 30th. The Rockets' pick would go to Oklahoma City, and the Rockets would pick in Miami's spot. So being bad this season does not benefit the Rockets.
Wow.
I give Rafael Stone a lot of credit. He has not panicked. I think that he's handled this offseason very well. When you consider he's an unknown in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to one executive who said, I don't know anything about the guy. And, you know, Rafael Stone's been around a long time, but he, like I said, he is unknown in the NBA. He has handled this challenge well. And so I'm curious to see if more pressure gets applied, is he able to hold his ground?
Well, we'll all be watching because we're at the point where the NBA, if a player puts pressure on it, the player, his agent puts pressure on it, they have to make a move. Like, they have to. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, Anthony Davis was not faking the injury, but wouldn't play. He simply was sit out and would not play and forced his way to L.A. Say, no, I don't want to get traded anywhere else but to Los Angeles.
Let me ask you this. Harden doesn't have an agent. So how much easier does that make things on the Rockets when you know that James Harden really doesn't have an agent?
I think it's harder because with the agent possibly may see it the way the organization sees it, right? The agent may see it more.
But you don't have an agent applying the pressure, though.
You don't.
And I think a lot of times the agent can be the one who applies the pressure while the player goes about his business. Here, you don't really have the agent to put pressure on anyone.
It's a tough situation to be in, man. And if Harden's mind is made up, once his mind gets made up, it may not be made up now, but whenever his mind gets made up this day, hopefully, or to get out of here, oh, man, it's a wrap. It's completely over, and you got to figure out the best way to go about the situation. Like, what? And you'll have to get a haul, right? You'll have to get a ton of draft compensation and some good young pieces. Like, you have to. Otherwise, you can't give away from, you know, you can't do what the Texans did with DeAndre with James. You can't get that. You have to get, and the NBA doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. You will have to get something in return. It's just a matter of what.
So that'll be something to watch. The Rockets, again, training camp will start next week. The Rockets are going to do kind of a media week, it almost sounds like. So I have no idea when we will actually hear from James Harden. I don't know when we'll hear from Russell Westbrook. We're going to hear, actually, Christian Wood's presser is starting right now, and we will hear from Brandon Scott coming up at 4:20 to give his quick reaction from that press conference. But when we come back, we're going to talk a little fantasy football, and we are going to hear from Paul Charchian with guillotineleagues.com. He's going to get into some of the fantasy stuff this week. Maybe if you're in some daily fantasy, what do you do with the two games that we have coming up tomorrow? That's next on Sports Radio 610.
Cat Purple Drank will keep you warm on a cold day.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Adam Spillane and Cecil Shorts in for Clint and the show. We are now joined by Paul Charchian, the CEO at guillotineleagues.com. And Paul, thank you for joining us. I want to start as you start to get towards the end of the regular season for some of these teams. And let's talk about some fantasy favorable matchups that we have for, you know, playoffs, which will start for a lot of teams week 14.
Yeah. Hi, Adam. Hi, Cecil. Nice to talk to you.
Hey, same here, brother. I'm excited, man.
Yeah. Now, since you gave up your career, have you gone over to the dark side and started playing fantasy?
Listen, I was anti-fantasy while playing, and I was anti-fantasy up until 2 years ago, and I am addicted. Like, I'm checking my waiver riders every morning. I'm trying to make trades. I'm trying to make different deals. I'm trying to see who's the best fit. I'm like, what player can I get? I need another RB. Like, this. So I'm in like three leagues, and it's a lot of fun, man. It's a real good time.
Oh, I love to hear that. And it's totally okay that it bugged you while you were playing, because fantasy owners are always like, man, you're on my team, you didn't score, and all that stuff. But I'm glad that you're playing now, and I'm glad you're having a great time.
But I tell you what,
fantastic.
I get it why the fantasy owners were so mad, though. I understand now. Like, why couldn't you hold on to the ball, or why didn't you get more targets? Or I totally understand where they're coming from. So no hard feelings to anybody out there. It's a lot of fun for sure.
Have you texted
anyone?
I love it. Have you texted anyone saying, hey, what's the deal?
I have not texted you. No. I do try to get some insight here and there sometimes, but I don't try to text. I don't text anyone, no.
All right, so Paul, give us. Go ahead, Paul.
No, go ahead. Well, I was just going to answer your question.
Okay.
We were talking about, you know, playoff planning. Now, for at least Cecil's case, if you're in three leagues, at least one of them's already a lock to go to the playoffs, and I think it helps to look ahead at weeks 14 through 16, so you can start doing a little advanced planning here. And there are some easy matchups to exploit and one really tough matchup that I want to give people a heads up on. So some easy matchups from week 14 through 16. Rams have arguably the most favorable schedule in the fantasy playoffs. That's Jared Goff and the rest of the Rams passing game. They have the Patriots, which used to be a killer. Now it's just a neutral matchup. Then the Jets and then the Seahawks. Jets and Seahawks are two of the three easiest passing matchups. So we've got them on the schedule. That means Jared Goff's available, maybe Josh Reynolds as a sneaky pickup. He's on the field about 80% of the plays. The other easier one, Tennessee's got the Jaguars, the Lions, and the Packers, Ryan Tannehill, Corey available in your league. You could pick him up. The running game, easy playoff schedule. David Montgomery's got the Texans, your Texans, Vikings, and Jaguars. That's easy. And then Philip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon will face the Panthers, Bills, Chargers. Those are the easy guys that you could perhaps capitalize on now by grabbing those guys before people are really aware of the playoffs. But here's the one that's going to be the dagger for a lot of good teams. Dalvin Cook's playoff schedule is brutal. Get this. Week 14, he's got Tampa. That's the number one rushing defense by yards, number three in fantasy points allowed. Then the easy game is against the Bears. They've allowed the second fewest touchdowns to running backs. And then maybe the hardest of the three, week 16, the Saints. They rank number two in yards to running backs and number one in fantasy points allowed. That is a brutal schedule. And as good as Dalvin Cook is, he's probably going to have at least one dud game in there, and that could be the one that knocks you out of the playoffs.
Besides Dalvin Cook, what are some other difficult matchups in come playoff time, weeks 14 through 16 for players?
You've got one of them right there, Deshaun Watson, who's red hot. And honestly, you know, in a different scenario, he's in the MVP conversation if your team had more wins the way he's played. Goes to Chicago, that's tough. Then to Indy, that's maybe the toughest defense in football. And if you survive that gauntlet, then Watson and the rest of your Texans get the Bengals for an easy week 16. But you got to get there, and I don't know if Deshaun Watson can carry that team through Chicago and Indy.
Paul Charchian, we're talking fantasy football with Paul Charchian, the CEO at GuillotineLeagues.com. So with those guys in particular, Cook and Deshaun Watson, are you trading those guys, or are you just almost hoping for the best at that point?
If I'm a lock to make the playoffs already, then I'm trading them, because I don't think they're going to get through that gauntlet unscathed. And you can name your price on Dalvin Cook, right? You can trade Dalvin Cook for like anybody. So I would go find easier matchups that I think I can go exploit in 14 through 16. Same with Deshaun Watson. You can get almost any quarterback you want. And at a minimum, I'd be getting backups that can help me through those weeks. Like maybe David Montgomery, who's dirt cheap right now and has got that easy schedule that I told you about.
Let's go to the games tomorrow. Now, obviously, we have one game that gets pushed back, so we don't get Ravens and Steelers. But what are you thinking with Texans and Lions tomorrow morning?
I love the running backs in this game, and I know Duke Johnson has done basically nothing since replacing David Johnson. But the Lions have allowed the most rushing touchdowns this year, and in the last 5 weeks alone, the Lions have given up 12 touchdowns to running backs. That's insane. If there's ever a time to play Duke Johnson, this is it. So let's get him going. And then Detroit has ruled out Kenny Golladay. They've ruled out Danny Amendola. They're going to try to run a lot. And DeAndre Swift is shaping up his game time decision. If DeAndre Swift goes, he's a top five running back opportunity. I don't have to tell you guys about the trouble your team has had against running backs. Your squad has allowed the most, sees the most rushing attempts. They've allowed the most rushing yards and the second most rushing touchdowns to opposing running backs. So if DeAndre Swift can go, he is a top five play.
Top five. Wow.
If he can't play,
I know.
Are you going Adrian Peterson? Do you just drop down to the next guy on that team?
Yeah, probably. But actually, I think it's Kerryon Johnson, who surprisingly got 70% of the snaps last week. So he would be, if DeAndre Swift can't go, then a fantastic, uber sneaky pivot right before everybody's diving into their Thanksgiving lunch, dinner, brunch, whatever, is Kerryon Johnson, a super sneaky play against a reeling run defense.
Now, talk to me about Stafford real quick. He's battling with an injury, and you just mentioned that Golladay is going to be out. So is he a lock for a start this week, or should you put him on the bench probably?
I pushed him down to quarterback 16. You know, again, the matchup's pretty favorable against your defense. I mean, we just saw, you know, Luke Luton and Cam Newton top 300 yards. They are not good passers. So, but between the thumb injury, and he didn't look quite right last week, and then losing Golladay and Amendola, I think they're out. So I think most fantasy players can do better than Matthew Stafford here this week.
Talking fantasy football with Paul Charchian from GuillotineLeagues.com. Let's go to the next game, Cowboys and the football team. What are you seeing in that one?
All right, well, let's talk Washington first. Nobody's talking about their rookie running back, Antonio Gibson. But now he's done so well over the past few games, he's up to top 10 among all running backs on the full season for fantasy points scored. And he goes up against the Cowboys defense that allows the eighth most fantasy points to the position. We're starting Antonio Gibson. In fact, I have Antonio Gibson as running back 4 this week. Love his matchup, and he's playing so well. And then for Dallas, Andy Dalton looked competent against my Minnesota Vikings. And you know what? The Vikings secondary is just not good. They were missing 3 starting cornerbacks last week. So Dalton, I think, comes back to earth here in a much tougher matchup. Washington's turned into a great pass defense. Since going back to week 5, only one quarterback has topped one touchdown pass against Washington. Pro Football Focus ranks Washington 7th in passing rush and 4th in pass coverage.
You mentioned Antonio Gibson. The Cowboys secondary, not good. We saw Kirk Cousins have a lot of success with Jefferson
and
with Adam Thielen. So what about Terry McLaurin?
He's my number – wait, I have him at number two. My number two ranked wide receiver this week. It is a fantastic matchup. Cowboys are giving up 179 yards per game to opposing receivers. That is a ton, and they've allowed the most touchdowns to wideouts. So I love Terry McLaurin in this one, and I don't think they can do anything to stop him. They're without Trayvon Diggs. They're starting one of their two starting cornerbacks in this game.
All right, let's talk a little daily fantasy. And so for people who only want to do, you know, you can do a league for the two games tomorrow.
Right.
What would be the quarterback that you go with of the four that are playing tomorrow?
I'd go with your quarterback. This is a fantastic opportunity for Deshaun Watson. Now, I don't have his price in front of me, and everything is relative to price.
Right.
But at the end of the day, and especially with only four teams playing, I just want to find great players. And this is a great, great matchup. You know, it comes excluding the monsoon game in Cleveland. Watson's average game since Bill O'Brien left is 321 passing yards and 2.5 touchdowns. I mean, it's great. The rushing numbers are way down, but I don't care. He's just been so good in so many ways. And we should mention the Lions have ruled out starting cornerback Jeffrey Okuda. He's out. So it's a fantastic opportunity here. I love Fuller and I love Cooks as well. And both of them have got good matchups here. So it's green light for that passing game as well.
Now, you mentioned Gibson and for the running back for the Redskins. What about Zeke? Would Zeke be in your starting lineup if you were playing daily fantasy? I know it's been a different the last actually 2 years, in my opinion, with the offense kind of more of the passing game and him not getting as many touches, and especially this year with Dak being out and stuff, he's dealing with some hamstring stuff. So would he be a guy that you put in your lineup in daily fantasy?
Man, I can tell you play fantasy. I love it. Oh, God. You can always tell the guys who really play and the guys who are trying to fake it, and you are a player. I love it. I'll tell you what. Zeke had a good game against Minnesota, broke off a couple long runs. But get this. Let's talk, and you are so right about the situation on Ezekiel Elliott. Right now, he ranks 39th among running backs in yards after contact. He has 5 fumbles. That is the worst among all running backs. He is second among running backs in dropped passes with 6 already. His pass blocking grade ranks him 29th among running backs, and he's 16th in carries of 10 or more yards. The best running back in Dallas is Tony Pollard.
Young Tony. Oh, man. Listen, Zeke, and I have him in one of my leagues, it's so disappointing because how many points were you used to him getting consistently, right? He was the guy
that's
that was
right.
18 to 20, depending on what kind of league you're in. He was just a go-ahead, no matter who the defense is, a lock
that's
it for
right.
me, right? Now it's like you have to watch the situation. You have to see who they're playing. You have to really pay attention to who he is or who he's going against because he's not the same guy anymore.
You're exactly right. He was a set-it-and-forget-it running back, and now Zeke is a matchup play. And that is a massive, massive change for him. And this is not a great matchup right here. Washington's in the better half of the league in every running back defensive metric, especially limiting runners through the air. So I don't think Zeke's going to chip in much through the air here either. He's a middling start this week.
What about any sleepers throughout the league? Quarterback, running back, receiver, any sleepers that you think people should be paying attention to this week?
Yes, the starting running back for the Giants is Wayne Gallman, who has scored in 4 consecutive games, a streak over which his rushing attempts have increased every week, topping out at 18 carries last week, and he goes up against the Bengals, who are giving up almost 130 rushing yards per game, the 4th most and over 5 yards per carry. I like Wayne Gallman as a sneaky play, and Philip Rivers looked bad for the majority of the year, but playing quite a bit better lately. Over the last 5 weeks, which includes a game against this week's opponent, Tennessee, Rivers averaging 291 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's pretty darn good. And he played well against Tennessee 2 weeks ago. So I think he's a sneaky play as well. And he's available in about 80% of fantasy leagues.
Paul Charchian joining us on SportsRadio610.com. He's the CEO of GuillotineLeagues.com. Paul, for daily fantasy this week, who is the high-priced guy that you should stay away from?
Oh, I always love those. Now this is all week long. I can take anybody, not just tomorrow's players.
Yeah, let's do the whole week. Well, let's do both. Give me. I mean, you basically said Zeke though for tomorrow. Yeah, would that be fair?
Yeah, I would be very cautious on Zeke for sure. Let me give you another guy that worries me quite a bit. Miles Sanders for Philadelphia is a very good running back in a surprisingly tricky matchup with Seattle. Everybody just passes on Seattle. And why not? They're on pace to be the worst pass defense in the history of the NFL, but they're also a really good run defense. And Sanders has been held under 4 yards per carry a couple of times this year. Seattle is super stingy on the ground. They've allowed the fourth fewest rushing yards per game to opposing backs. They haven't allowed more than 58 rushing yards to any back since week 5. So I think that's another big name guy that you'd want to show a little caution on.
Now, let's say I like to stack a quarterback and a wide receiver together. What's the who should I go with?
Well, assuming, you know, if we don't have to worry about cost or anything else, Justin Herbert, who has been, needless to say, sensational, has got a plus matchup with Buffalo. Now, Buffalo's got one elite cornerback. It's Tre'Davious White. But White plays on the outside. That means I can stack Justin Herbert with Keenan Allen, who plays out of the slot and will not see Tre'Davious White. And that's been an electric combination so far under Herbert. And again, with Keenan Allen not having to see White, I think he's going to get a ton of looks like he has been getting for most of this season under Herbert. Keenan Allen is my number one ranked wide receiver, and Justin Herbert's my number four ranked quarterback this week.
Now, let's say I do a stack for just the two games tomorrow, and I want to start Deshaun Watson. Do I go with Will Fuller or do I go with Brandon Cooks as my stack?
Oh, that's a great question. I
Fuller burned me last week.
I know, but you know, but on the whole, he's been a guy you could start almost every week, averaging 78 yards per game over his last 7 games. That's really good. He'll be shadowed by Desmond Trufant. That's a positive at where Desmond Trufant is right now. He's allowed 2 touchdowns in his last 4 games. Mm. I like that matchup better than the Brandon Cooks matchup. He's going to see, I'm going to do my best on this, Amani Oruware in coverage. Oruware yields a minuscule 47% catch rate and just a 61 passer rating and hasn't given up a touchdown all year. So that is why I like the Fuller matchup better based on the size of the field that they run on more often.
All right, Paul, before we let you get out of here, tell us what you have going on at guillotineleagues.com.
All my player rankings available for free. If you want all the same kind of data that I'm giving you right here, I'm getting right out of guillotineleagues.com, and you can go to the site for free, see all my player rankings, and help you with those tricky bench start decisions.
Paul, thanks so much for joining us. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun. It was great talking to both of you, Adam and Cecil, and have a great holiday, okay?
You too, brother.
Thank you very much. That is Paul Charchi, and the CEO at guillotineleagues.com. I'm fascinated by the former NFL player who is now obsessed with fantasy football.
I literally love it. Like, it's a bad obsession. I'm up at 5 in the morning making sure. I get up early anyways, but I'm up. It's okay, let's be honest. Sometimes I get up like at 3:30 in the morning on Wednesdays. Just to make sure I'm getting the guy, the
waiver
correct
day,
person.
Man.
It's a waiver day, the correct person
got
I'm supposed to get. And if I'm not, I'm pretty upset about it. So I really enjoy it, man. It's a lot of fun.
Did you get the hate from fans when you played?
Yes, and I did get the tweets. I got the Instagram messages. I got all type of stuff. Even still today, people say, hey, I had you on my fantasy team. They'll give me the dirty look or they'll give me a hug. So it's like, you know, it's either or, but yeah, it's. Fantasy is serious, man. So I definitely get where they're coming from. But when I was a player, I wasn't trying to hear it.
When they give you the hug, do you say, all right, now where's my cut? Where's my end?
I do. I tease them like, okay, you want how much money?
I got to get at least 5%.
I need something. My kids need Christmas gifts, so I need something.
There should be a tax. I think the players would maybe like it more if there was some
That'd
sort of a
cool
fantasy tax.
If there was like some type of, you know, if you hit certain amount of, you know, stats and in a certain league, you get a little piece of it. That'd be pretty cool. Probably unrealistic, but it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Hey, we give it a shot. All right, we are halfway through the show here on SportsRadio610.com. When we come back, I want to do a deep dive on Anthony Weaver, the Texans' first-year defensive coordinator. I want to know from Cecil, is he a future NFL head coach? That's next on Sports Radio 610.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.